All right, welcome everyone to another Tuesday afternoon here in America and Tuesday evening in Scotland, Ireland, elsewhere in the EU where this is being broadcast. And it's also on Shake and Wake Radio, thanks to Annie Champagne. I know she doesn't have her complete station back up, but she does have the tune-in listeners. So welcome to the tune-in, Shake and Wake listeners. And I'm also on PSN Radio down in Florida, thanks to Angel Espino. I'm Stephen Roberts. This is Cancel the Cabal. I have a returning guest. I think he's been on the third time. He has his own show on Revolution Radio. And we were talking about Revolution Radio before we went on. But I want to welcome back Rock the Boat Radio's Ron Stevens. So welcome back, Ron.
Well, glad to be back, Steve.
Yes, well, go ahead.
Well, no, it's just you're one of the few people that I know that's got their head on straight.
Well,
you know how there's so much controlled opposition out there that even radio hosts get dragged off in the wrong direction, and it's unfortunate because the people listening think that what's being said is realistic when it's not.
Uh-huh.
You know?
What do you mean? What do you mean by dragged off in the wrong direction?
Yeah. You know, the people, a lot of the people are just, you know, they've been, you know, trying to wake up, and but they don't understand a lot of this stuff, and they hear something that they kind of think makes sense, and then they follow it, and they're being dragged off in the wrong direction. Completely. Even though they think they're awake, they're not awake yet.
That's the system itself. Did I ever tell you about I probably did tell you one of the other two or three times you've been on about the there's a term called full spectrum dominance.
What's it called?
Full spectrum dominance. It's a military term. It's a military. Well, you know, there's 360 degrees of a circle. And it seems that, you know, you can virtually find 360 subjects out there that there are conspiracies towards or against or whatever, and they are attacking at every single degree of the circular spectrum. And that's what the military does. They have the term full spectrum dominance. They want to attack someone on every single angle that they can.
Well, that makes perfect sense, because when you look at it, you know, when you look at the chaos that's going on now, they've pretty much got the circle filled with the nonsense.
Yes, it does.
So you have people who, you know, it's a lot to do with, I think, self-confidence. I think a lot of people don't have any self-confidence anymore. And, you know, you have people who get dragged over to the BLM and the people who get dragged over to the LGBTQ and here and there and all over the place because they feel welcome.
Well, it's not only just welcome. It's just the system itself, the elite. They have studied us for a long, long time, and we should be studying them virtually, because, you know, you're supposed to study your enemy. Mm-hmm. Darn it, I had a thought, and I just lost it. I started to go off on a different tangent, and I lost it, but I'll probably think of it here in a few seconds. But the elite have been studying us. I think that was my thought, and we should study them. I get odd looks from people that I know are right wing, and I've told them, yeah, I've bought in the Communist Manifesto and read it, and I've also bought in Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, and I get the why did you do that for look, and I also get that question too.
Well, because you have to know. Right? Like, you know, they spread democracy around the world. Well, Karl Marx was saying that democracy is the next step.
Yes, right? Yes.
from democracy, we go to Marxism or socialism or whatever you call it. It's a stepping stone.
Yes.
And people don't understand that. They think democracy is wonderful. Well, if you look up demon in etymology and go to the root of the word demon, you will find what word? Democracy.
Yeah.
You know, and if you look up devil and go to that root, you will find the word parliament, which is what we have here in Canada.
Exactly.
So people don't have a clue. You know, it's like I've been telling people for so long that, you know, kindergarten to grade 12 is an indoctrination system teaching you not to question or challenge authority.
Yes.
So after 13 years of that, it's stuck in your head the rest of your life. People don't know how to say no. They don't know how to challenge. But then I ran into a thing from Russell Bertrand from way back when.
Bertrand Russell?
Yeah. And they say the exact same thing. I've been saying it for a long, long time, and then it ran into him. And he's saying exactly what I was saying.
Yes, he is, yeah.
It's the school is an indoctrination system.
Yeah,
and, so you don't question.
Yeah. Yeah, that came from the Prussian style education system back in the middle of the 19th century.
Yeah, that's where our system of education came from. We have different names on different universities here, and they all went to Prussia. And they brought it home because they couldn't figure out why when the Prussian army and that was overrun, that they didn't normally you retreat.
Yes. Yes.
But they didn't. And this was their thought process. They didn't question. They were told don't just keep moving forward regardless.
Uh-huh.
And so that was all part of the indoctrination system, and it's worked very, very well, unfortunately.
Fortunately for them, unfortunately for us.
Yeah, but I still do believe that this COVID thing, while the UN and the World Economic Forum are saying it's a trigger. It's the trigger to reset the world. I do believe it's our trigger as well. And there's a hell of a lot more of us than there are of them. And people are starting to wake. Been waiting a long, long time. But they are starting to wake. They are starting to understand something is terribly, terribly wrong here. And a lot of people don't like the idea of being force vaccinated. They're getting a little bit nervous about that. So now their minds are open to suggestion now. And that's what we have to do is, show them the right road. Instead of running around on the circle, we need to get on a straight road. And once you're on the straight road, it doesn't take long to straighten things out. But what you said about know your enemy, and I've told a lot of people that too. I mean, if you look at a boxer who's going to go in a ring with a boxer, what's he do? He goes and gets videos of the boxer and studies them so he understands
yes.
his moves.
Well, I mean, it's sure.
So that he can fight the guy and know what the guy's going to be doing.
Yes. All sports teams have been doing that the last 30 plus years.
Yeah. And we, the people, haven't.
Yes. And, there's a listener that's waving at you. She says she knows you. Her name is Helen Mowat. Do you know Helen?
Helen from Canada?
It must be. Could be.
Helen Mowat?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a good friend of mine. I never met her yet, but she's in Calgary.
Okay. And, but she's in the chat listening.
She sent me a video the other night, and said, this is the best video ever. So I listened to it, and it started out okay, but this is how controlled opposition works, right?
Uh-huh.
And by the last minute of it or so, it completely swaps around, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I wrote Helen, I messaged her, and I told her, you know, that this is just controlled opposition junk. And she posted it up on her on her Facebook, and they got a bunch of likes on it, because people, you know, there's so much, you know, and I know that there's so much controlled opposition out there. It's the circle, like you mentioned, right?
Yes.
And people are easily swayed, because if you start out on the right foot or when you're talking, they people go, oh, this is great. And they don't pay attention at the end.
Yes. Well, right? I was also going to mention too, by the way, Helen is listening. She's in a chat. They do know by studying us that, virtually nobody in the world thinks critically anymore. They don't, they think off their emotions. They make these stories in a way that it's going to be a left-wing spin or a right-wing spin. There is, I mean, how many people have you ever heard of or know physically in your lifetime that doesn't think from a emotional response from a story or a article or a video or whatever the case is?
The one thing that people need to understand is the mind is easily manipulated, but your gut instinct isn't.
Right.
And people, I think, have lost the connection to their gut, because your gut will tell you pretty quick what's right and what's wrong. But your mind is so, you know, it's 24/7 nonsense coming at your mind all the time.
Yes.
And it's you gotta, you know, I just run with the gut, and I mean, I have a lot of knowledge and stuff, but people, just very few people understand controlled opposition.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's unfortunate, because they're manipulators. I mean, if you're promoting the right, and you're talking down the left, or if you're talking up the right and, or the talking up the left and talking down the right, well, whoever's doing the talking doesn't know what they're talking about, do they? Because both the left and the right came out of the same place. They were burst out of France as a divide and conquer tactic.
Yes.
So regardless if you're on the right or the left, you're not in the right boat, you know? And so all of this nonsense of fighting between the people when the idea is a divided nation can't stand. So split the nation in half, put half on the left, half on the right. They're always belly aching at each other and not paying any attention to anything else. And they don't understand it, that they've been hoodwinked, you know. The left is a fraud. The right is a fraud. And the only place that we, the people, because we're never, ever, ever. And I keep people telling me, so, well, we need to vote for this party. That party isn't going to get 1 or 2% of the vote. So what's the point?
Right. Right.
Okay. The same thing in America. You only ever had the Democrats and the Republicans, and yes. Here in Canada, we only ever had the Liberals and the Conservatives.
Yes.
In the federal government. So you have no chance whatsoever, zero chance of ever taking control of that level of government.
Yes. I remember in one of my college courses, I probably never even told you about that, but I do have a degree in journalism, a 2-year degree. It's just an associate's, but it's still a degree. I mean, I got the street cred, so-called, or whatever, but I do remember in one of my one of my history classes about government, they said that the American government, it was deliberately set up in a way to protect the two parties.
Uh-huh.
And they will never allow anyone that isn't part of that left-right paradigm in.
No. No, and it's basically the same thing at the state level.
Yes,
or the provincial level. So the only place that we, and people think they don't have any power, we have all the power. Okay? We the people are the people with the power. But the people are afraid. Okay? They were taught not to challenge or question. And they don't know how to say no. And we the legal system of which the government's run under is actually a fraud that enslaved the people. The only way we can get the power that we need to make the change we need is down at our community level, because that's where we live. That's where we have the power. Once we control our community, our councils, and our administration at the local level, then we have the power to say no.
All games are over then.
Exactly. And the next thing we have to do is the incorporation thing took away our power. We used to own our communities. When our forefathers came here and they built their towns and their villages and that, they were totally in control of them. But then I think it was Rockefeller and them came along and said, you know, if you would like sewers and running water, and you don't have to go at the outhouse in the wintertime, we'll install it for you. And look at this other town we did.
Yes.
But
yes.
You have to incorporate.
Yeah, we're bringing in democracy. Do you want some?
Right. So it's always sign here at the crossroads,
yes.
Right, for a benefit.
Yes.
When you take that benefit, you give away what you had. Okay, so now they own your butt. And so, you know, we need to get back to law and get away from the legal system, because it's a legal system that has turned us into assets of the corporation, which they call the country.
What do you know about the Admiralty Law that we give everybody in the...
The which?
In the world. Admiralty Law. That's what we're living under.
Well, it's you can call it admiralty law. It's just basically corporate.
Yeah.
I mean, I went just for support to a gentleman that's been hammered by the government for over 20 years now, and he's never harmed anybody, and they've raided his farm up teen times. All he was doing was making milk, and no one's ever been ill. But they just keep coming at him because they want to control the food.
Yes. Yes.
And so I just went to the court and I was talking to a cop that came up from Toronto, because every time we're in court, they always bring the bigger boys in. And I just asked him, I says, is common law or corporate? And he just put his hands up in the air and he says, it's all corporate. Well, of course it is, because it's all legal.
Yeah.
Right. So
do you have sheriffs up there?
You call it whatever you want, but
do you have sheriffs up there?
Hmm?
Do you have sheriffs up there?
No.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. I think there's a back in the background somewhere. There's a sheriff or something, but they're not. They're definitely not up front. I think we just use a sheriff to deliver stuff or whatever. But you know, your system down there, the sheriff is the boss, right?
Yes, he is.
You know, and,
or she,
but see, it still goes back to reasonable man, right? And which is tort law. And as I've said to the police before and that, you know, we need to come to an agreement here. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Because legal is adversarial, right? And that means you're trying to harm me. So we need to come to an agreement. And I've done that several times. You get pulled over for speeding or something, and the cop always comes over. You know how fast you were going? Yeah, I was doing 100. You know what the speed limit is? No, I don't. Can you? I'm glad you pulled me over. And they usually go, "You're glad I pulled you over?" Yeah, because I'm in your neck of the woods now, and the speed limit is not the same everywhere. The sign says the same, but it's up to the discretion of the cop what the speed limit is. So what's the speed limit? He says, "Well, what's the sign say?" The sign doesn't mean squat.
Sign can't say nothing.
Okay, down in my neck of the woods, the cops tell me if I stay a tick under 110K, I'm good to go.
Uh-huh.
And the one cop says, "Who told you that?" I said, "A cop." And this cop says, "Well, he's an idiot." Well, I don't know. He's one of your guys. But I'm in your neck of the woods now. Okay, different county. So we need to come to an agreement what the speed limit is.
Right, right.
And he goes, "Well, I'm not giving you 110. That's fine. He says, "Well, I'll give you 100. Well, that's what I was doing.
That's what I was doing.
So then I tell him, I said, "You know, now what I need you to do is I need you to take the particulars of the vehicle, the license plate, the color, the make, the model, the year, all that stuff, and put it out to your boys."
Uh-huh.
He's going, "What?" "Well, you and I have come to an agreement. Okay, and I don't want to get pulled over for doing 95. And the cop, "I've never done anything like this before." Well, I said, "This is what two reasonable men would do."
Yeah.
He said, "Well, all right, I'll do it." And I've done that several times. And,
Helen.
But people are fearful all the time, right?
Yeah.
"Oh, there's an authority. He's going to give me a ticket." Well, uh-huh. Not necessarily. Right?
Correct.
So the legal system, first of all, is adversarial, so it's designed to cause you harm.
Yes.
Law, on the other side, does not cause you harm.
Yes.
Same thing. You break a window, they give you a ticket, you go to court.
Yes.
But they didn't give you the ticket, they give the legal person the ticket.
Right, right.
Okay, but the legal person can't speak.
Right. By the way, Helen says you do have sheriffs up there. At least Alberta has sheriffs.
Has which?
Alberta has sheriffs.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
I think we have some here too, but I think they just deliver paperwork in certain instances. court papers or whatever. You don't see him around too much, but
they could probably. The sheriff could probably be called if the local police were harassing somebody. I wonder if they could be called upon to disperse the agents of the Crown. The police.
I have to look that up, because the sheriff thing here is very. It's very background, low-key.
Yeah.
I don't think they have. They have a certain amount of power. I think they probably have more power in Alberta, because Alberta has more RCMP than we do here in Ontario, which may make a difference. But the point is that people need to understand the difference between law and legal. They think legal and law mean the same thing, because they're always interchanging the words.
Yeah. Do you know why?
So people think, you know, legal means law and law means legal. No, they don't. They're opposites.
Right. I've caught a lot.
You break a window, you go to court, they give you a $900 fine.
Well, that's an invitation.
Well, the homeowner still got a broken window, and the court took the $900. So in law, if you break the window, you have an obligation to undo the harm, which is fix the window or hire somebody to fix it or replace it.
Right, right.
And they have their window fixed. In legal, the homeowner still got a busted window. You got dragged to court, and they took your $900. That's kind of like theft.
Kind of. Kind of like theft, huh?
You know, I've seen
a lot of...
I don't think people understand people are always looking at the state, provincial, federal governments as the powerhouse, and they think that their local council doesn't mean squat. Well, if you look at your municipal paperwork here in Ontario, the municipality, which is incorporated, tells you that they own everything in it, including your butt. Okay? They can tell you to do anything they want, and you're bound by it.
Basically, if you capitulate with the system, they do. Yeah.
Yeah. So we need to unincorporate our municipalities, and then we need to say no to the legal system, because once we control our communities, we have the power to decide how that community is going to run.
Yeah.
Now, as we do that across our nations, guess what? The Fed doesn't control the nation anymore, nor does the state.
No.
The people do. And it's going to be a bit of a tough go. But if we don't do what we have to do, it is our duty to do what is right. I don't know how people can say they love their children when they won't stand up to anything. I never understood that. You know, so we gotta. Our forefathers were extremely strong people. And they've weakened us to the point where we just do whatever they say.
Well, the psychological and the physical attacks have ramped up considerably in the last 20 years.
Well, Bergeron said that. I've been saying it forever, that it's a psychological war that we're in. And he said the same thing, right? We're going to use psychology.
Yes.
To bring the people down to a level that we can do whatever we want with them.
Yes, and it was also in the middle of the 19th century when they first began looking into the electronics that we all have right now, the radio and the television, and that has a profound psychological effect also.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, some of the stuff that people tell me that they watched on television and they believe it.
Yes.
It just makes you shake your head.
It does.
I kept one television that I've had for a long, long, long time. And I've got it sitting in a wall unit. And all the screen is just black.
Uh-huh.
And it's of no harm to anybody, right? Once you turn that sucker on.
Uh-huh. Did I ever tell you about Alan Watt up there in the Toronto area?
Alan Watt?
Yeah,
actually up in the Sudbury area.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah, I have a friend who lives up Sudbury way, a chiropractor, or used to be a chiropractor.
I've listened.
Alan Watt, he's living in a little cabin out in the middle of nowhere up there somewhere.
I listened to a lot of his podcasts, though. I remember he telling in one podcast when he grew up. He grew up in Scotland. I mean, he's virtually Scottish, but he was born in Scotland. He grew up in a town. I don't remember what the town was over there, but he said virtually you could go into a park in his city, and there might be 1,000 people in that park on any given day, even during the weekdays, where people were working or kids were in school or whatever, and there still might be 1,000 people in this park. And virtually within a month or 6 weeks after television came in to that city, you couldn't find 50 people in that same park.
Well, he's absolutely correct, because when I was a kid, we were always busy, right? we were always building stuff and fixing things and making plans for this, that, or the other thing, or playing ball or fishing or building go-karts, whatever. And then when I was about 13, which would have been, you know, the era of all of these new shows that came out, Archie Bunker and all this kind of stuff, Hogan's Heroes, all that. I would go to friends' houses and say, come on, let's go after supper at night. And, well, you know, Archie Bunker's on or something. And I would look at the family, and they were all just glued to the television, right? All of a sudden, everything that they used to do didn't matter anymore.
Yep.
And that's really sad, you know? And, but now they've got it to the point where it's, you know, 24/7 propaganda lies coming at you. And, it's difficult for people to, you know, not get it into their heads. And
I wonder,
stuck in there.
I wonder if for the most part, if people haven't given up.
Well, I would say the vast majority, yes. When I talk to friends my age, it just sickens me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when we were teenagers in that, in our early 20s in that, you know, it was, everybody was, let's go get it done. And now when I talk to my old friends, I have a difficult time talking to them, because you're probably the same as me, Steve. I'm 65 now. I'm going to be 66 in a month. I still feel no older than 30. And when I talk to my old friends, I'm looking at them, I'm listening to them, and I'm just listening to these old men.
Yeah, yeah.
Who have no desire about anything any longer.
Yep.
And that breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Because we have a duty to go as long as we can go. But the upside is, and I think I've mentioned this before in your show, the upside is that I've been talking to students for a long time, and when I did that last all candidates meeting in 2018, I just ran to see if anybody was waking up in the audience yet, but they weren't. All the people in the audience are, what's the government going to do for me? Just like a bunch of little stupid children, only they're all in their, you know, 50 and up, basically. When I got down off the stage at that high school, because everybody was angry with me, the candidates were angry, the teachers were angry. But when I got down off the stage, I had students high-fiving me.
Yeah.
And I had some really good chats with them, and they were getting it. They understand getting, you know, the government getting their claws into you.
Right? Yeah.
So I've been talking to students grade 8 to grade 10, and asking them what percentage of what the teachers are teaching them do they believe now. And they always do a little huddle. And most of the time they come out, go, and they're very skeptical. They go, maybe 50%.
Yeah.
And that's huge. That is absolutely huge. Because 10 years ago, when I talked to the students, they just didn't seem to have any clue about any of it.
Yeah.
Well, I think we need to go get the younger people.
Yes, absolutely.
There's some younger people that are very ticked off about what's going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
maybe we can bring the generations back together again like they're supposed to be.
Yeah. Helen's got a couple comments here, and I got a comment too. Helen says she's older than you. She hasn't given up. Determination and strong will. Age is a disease. I too feel like I'm 30 and can run circles around most people much younger than me. We have a woman in the network here on People's Internet. She'll be 76 here in a little bit, and she's still fighting like a 10-year-old.
It's amazing, you know. There's some really, really strong people, and Helen's one of them. And I would lo I got to meet her someday, because I used to be a reporter in Calgary in the 70s, and but everybody I talked to in Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver, they said, "Don't bother coming out here. It's a dump now, right? The cities are screwed."
That
But
reminds.
no, there's we you know, people like Helen and you, and a bunch of other people that are strong. We have the capacity to make the weak strong. And what I've been telling people for so many years was that, you know, people say, "Well, I tried to tell so and so something and they don't want to hear it." Fine, move on. Right? Okay, but don't stop.
Yes.
Okay? Because what happens is that the people that basically understand what's going on, they get kind of depressed and they stop.
Or they get mad and do something, yeah.
Yeah, or they do something stupid, but most of them just get kind of depressed because, well, their family doesn't want to talk to them anymore, and so they just shut up.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's the psychology they want, right?
Absolutely.
They want you to shut up.
Yep.
And we can't allow that. You know, I people share my posts and that, I'll just, you know, I so said, just keep talking, teaching, and shining the light.
Yes.
Because that's how we're going to win, right? So no, there's so many depressed people out there, and I've been falsely jailed, I've been assaulted upteen times, and all the rest of the nonsense. And I don't have any quit in me though. You know, I know I'm doing the right thing, and I know those in the legal system are doing absolutely the wrong thing, and we have a duty, just like our forefathers when they came over here, you know, hundreds of years before there was such a thing as America or Canada. They came over here to build us a new house, to be strong. And unfortunately, we all pass, and over many, many, many years, they got their foot in the door with the offer of benefits again.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if our forefathers could do it, we can do it.
Yes.
You know,
I.
all the electronic equipment we need.
Yes, we do.
You know, we can get the message out,
Yes, we do. I
but
did.
I'm really, really happy because from, oh, let's see, I put my first blog up when in 206 or something, when I was fighting the wind farms, from then till now, the number of people who are starting to understand is pretty extraordinary. You know, nobody understood anything back when I was working at 206.
Yes.
But today, and it's because people of like you and Helen and all these other strong people who ain't going to lay down.
Yes.
You know, we're bringing them forward.
Yes.
And they're starting to say we have to do something.
Yes, we do.
And we don't need to get into a war. We don't have to get into the, we don't need guns. Okay? We just need to be strong of the spine, mind, and spirit and learn to say no.
Yes.
And that's the ticket. So once we control our councils, and I got to get the one guy on my show because I talked him into running and didn't want to. But he did. He finally got in, and they only have five counselors, a little wee place up north. But he said they finally have the majority vote. The mayor is mad as hell. Okay, because mayor only got one vote, and you know they're supposed to be implementing these UN agendas. But those three counselors are fully aware of what's going on. And every time they try to put something through the council, they just say no to it.
Yep.
End of subject.
I just thought
because every single community, I don't care if you're in America or Canada or most anywhere else, every single local council is implementing the agendas being used to take you down, and your government, are they coming to your rescue?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Because they're on side with the globalists.
Yeah. I just thought of a couple things also, Ron. I have an 84-year-old aunt. She's also fighting. She made a Facebook profile up, and she's been under, I don't know, 6-7 years. She's been fighting like a cat and dog. Cats and dogs.
Yeah. So I talked to some ladies one day who were in their late 70s, and we were having a chat, and I said, you know, you have a duty, you know, and it's not, you don't want to end your life thinking about the TV shows you watched, right? Because that just means you wasted your life. And the one lady just started staring at me, and she said, so we're supposed to do something. Yes. Yes, you are, right? We all have, if we all get the same mindset, we can fix this pretty damn quick. But we have to get enough people with strong enough minds and spines that we can go in. And it's very, very simple, you know. You have, I remember seeing in America the Million Man March and that, right? Well, okay, so what'd you accomplish? Nothing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so if you have 7 people on your council, all you need to do is run 21 people. Okay, because when you run 21, you change the narrative. If you only run one ain't going to do any good. Now, I've heard people say, well, so-and-so is going to run for council. Well, big deal. If he wins, he can't make any changes. He only got one vote. Okay? But if you run 3 times the number of whatever's on council, so you don't need a million, you don't need 10,000, you don't need 5,000, you need 21 good people with 7 counselors and some other people to do some door knocking and whatnot and get out the proper information and what's going on in the council and whatnot. And you run 21 good, strong people, you only need 4 elected. Now you got majority vote. It's really that simple. And once we have the majority vote, we own our community.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So I hope I make 90.
Right. Right.
I have an uncle who's going to be 93 this fall. I don't want to go see him in Quebec, but I don't even know if I can get across the Quebec border because of this nonsense COVID garbage.
Papers, please.
You know, he's all of those people over there are extremely strong. It's all attitude. You know, he had a stroke at 85. They put him in the hospital. Then they want to put him in long-term care. And my uncle just told him like a week later, I got to get out of here. And the doctor said, well, you had a stroke. Yes, I had a stroke. Okay, I need to go get some exercise. Well, you're in rehab. Yeah, an hour every couple of days, and then the rest of the time I'm stuck laying in bed. That'll kill you. I got to go. And he was 85 then, and he's going to be 93 this fall. And they're still living at home, him and his wife. And they plant all their food, and she puts all the preserves down in that and makes all the bread and that. They eat extremely healthy. And that's the attitude that our forefathers used to have, right?
Yes, yes.
All this dependency that they've got people to, I got to go see this. I got to go do that. I got to do this. They told me to do this. They told me I have to take this or that. Well, that they got their hooks in you now. Okay, you're not independent, you know, and we have to get back to be independent thinking men and women.
Yes. You know what I hear a lot of times, people in YouTube videos, they will you know, they'll tell a police officer or whatever, did I harm someone? Yeah, sure. Oh, okay, I was doing 10 miles over the speed limit, but did I harm someone? Or, yeah, I ran that red light or stop sign or whatever the case is, but did I harm someone?
Well, that's the whole ticket, because that's law.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they mix the two terms together all the time. So they really can't say, well, law doesn't count, right? Because, see, this is psychology again, right? Because they mix those words, getting you to think law and legal mean the same thing.
Right.
And law is specific, is not to cause harm. And if you didn't cause harm, then you can't give me a ticket. Simple as that. Because now you've harmed me. And no, that's the way to go with it. You know, we have the power. We are the ones with the power. And people need to understand that. You know, you don't have to be wandering around in fear all the time. You know, although I did have a conversation with an officer in Florida, because we had a big recession up here and everything crashed. And so I went down to Florida after Hurricane Andrew, I think it was. And there was a guy who was in the Air Force who ran a John Deere dealership. And there was the three Rons, me, the guy we were going to work on his house and his buildings, and a Ron from Missouri. And so there was a guy from Texas and a guy from Cuba who were contractors who Ron, the owner, had given 40 grand to. And I ordered some lumber, and the lumber truck come in. I told the guy to dump it over there, and he says, well, no, I need a check. I said, well, you already been paid. No, what happened? So I can't dump the load.
Uh-huh.
So then the guy from Missouri that got me involved in this, he was feeling bad. He was living out there at the site in his trailer. I went out one night, and he's sitting there with a bottle of, I don't know, bottle of Jack Daniels or whatever, cleaning a rifle. I go, what are you doing? Well, I really feel bad about what happened. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I got to go get those guys. Well, not like that. I said, I'll go make a plan.
Yeah.
And so I went back to camp I was living in. And one of the waitresses at the tiki hut, you know, I asked her, I said, you don't happen to have a handgun, do you? And she lifted up her shirt, and there's a 357 Magnum. I said, geez, can I have that? And she goes, no. And I go, why not? She says, you're so calm. Like, everybody else is getting ripped off, is freaking out, and you're just so freaking calm. Uh-huh. So I just got to go fix it. And so I saw a cop on the main street of, or whatever the little town is down there. And so I pulled over behind her and asked her if she was going for lunch. And she said, well, yeah. And I said, so good. And I says, I'll buy you lunch. She said, you can't do that. Why not? Well, I'm on duty. Well, fine, buy me lunch. Can't do that either. Well, fine. So we went and had lunch. And I said, I got to talk to you about some stuff here because I'm not from here. And I said, I got to go and get a hold of these two guys and get this straightened out. So I want to know how far I can push this, right? And she actually sat at the table and said, as far as I'm concerned, you can kill them. I went, what? Well, they've ripped off some, you know, not these particular guys, but other guys ripped off other policemen for money when rebuilding their houses. And we're getting sick of it. So feel free to kill them.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But we didn't do that.
I can't tell.
We had a lot of fun with them.
I can't tell you
and,
how many.
Got it straightened out. And, you know, but it's all about being a reasonable man.
Yeah.
Right.
I can't tell you how many stories I've heard over the years of contractors just ripping people off.
Yeah. Well, I'm an honest guy. I don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, they...
I remember back in the day when we would take a contract, it was a simple thing of a shake of a hand.
Uh-huh.
You know, we didn't need all this paperwork.
Yeah.
And I think that causes more problems than anything else.
It used to be back in the day, if somebody ripped you off, you had a few friends, you could go to his house, and when he walked out, you put a blanket over his head and, you know, go to town on him.
Well, that's kind of what we almost did with the boys down in
yeah.
I told a guy from Missouri, I said, come on, get in the van. I says, you got a handgun? He said, I got a little .22 pistol. I said, fine, bring that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told him, I said, I'm gonna phone the Cuban first and tell him we're on our way to his house, and then we're going to get the Texan.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I phoned the Texas guy, the guy from Texas, that we were going to get the Cuban, and then we're coming after you. So we just parked, you know, about a half a block where we could see his house, and he jumped out in his Cadillac, took off. So we just run him off into a Burger King. And it's amazing because it was 10 o'clock in the morning and all these really fat people were filling their faces full of burgers and stuff, right? And you know, I explained to everybody in the burger joint, I explained what this guy had been up to, and I'm trying to make a decision, right? I don't know whether we should just let him go, or do we kill him and throw him in the canal and let the gators eat him?
Yeah.
And it was absolute unanimous. Kill him and put him for the gators, yeah. Right?
Did I ever tell you what how the policing industry was started? Or do you know how the policing industry was started? Why it was started?
No.
Well, I also learned this in my college history class. There was a time in the entire world, actually. It's not just America, but I think I read on Wikipedia that one of the first police forces was over in London. But anyways, there was a time to where the people, if they found out their city council or one of their elected officials had lied to them or went back upon his word, they would march to his office, drag him out, and tar and feather him, or just beat the living snot out of him.
But see, that's when people had what our forefathers, a strong spirit, mind, and spine.
Yes, yes.
Okay? They didn't just whine and complain. They went and fixed the problem.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and we have the power to fix the problem.
Yeah.
We just have to bring our people up to a position.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so happy about the young people I've been talking to lately. They're not happy.
Yeah.
You know, they're not happy at all.
No.
They know something's wrong.
That's right. But and they just can't put their finger on
their future. And what I tell people, we have a duty to those who come after us.
Yep.
And if we can get the young people on board, and hook up,
yes.
We are a very, very strong force. But no, you're absolutely correct, because I never really, we didn't hurt anybody really, but
screaming at somebody doesn't.
We got back out to Ron's place, the owner, and we're sitting there and going through their credit cards and whatnot. And I said, you know, he gave you 40 grand, which is dedicated to this job. And you tell him you don't have it. That doesn't make any sense. And then the Cuban came in, and he was snorting away. And I asked Ron, I said, you know, you don't have a baseball bat, do you? He goes, well, yeah, over in the shed. I went and got the baseball bat. And went over to the Cuban's car. And, you know, I lifted the baseball bat up. I wasn't going to hit it, but he didn't know that. Psychology, you know?
Yes, yes.
And so he's freaking out because it's his wife's car, and he's going to get killed if I beat up the car.
Right.
So I got him to sign the car over to me. I said, yeah, I'm taking the car because I need American plates because they're chasing the Canadians out of here. I need American plates. So I'm taking the car, sign it over. And when Ron gets his money, you get your car back.
Right.
And when we stripped them down to their underwear, we didn't use the blanket. We just stripped them down to their underwear. And they were about 40 miles from home. And they said, well, now what? Well, now you won't do this to anybody again.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And then I gave the girl at the camp from the tiki hut, I gave her the car when I was leaving, and phoned the Cuban and told him that I'd given it to a 6'6" black guy, and I told him that I'm giving him the car so that he will do you when he runs into you. And the Cuban was just shaking in his boots, right? There's no black guy, 6'6". I gave it to a 5-foot girl. But psychology works, right?
Yes, it does. Intimidation and, works. Intimidation and psychology. Well, the hour's virtually over, Ron.
Well, do you want to peel some veggies for me?
I know you'd like to continue, and I would too, but it is over.
I need you to come on my show on Revolution Radio, because
just send me a message just hijack
really
me like
a guy. You're highly intelligent and you're fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And
you can either just send me a message or just hijack me like you did the last time.
Well, no, I'll let you know. But no, I really appreciate it. And I'm glad you got Helen in here.
Uh-huh.
She is a very strong, dedicated lady who was a teacher who understood what the hell was going on and got out of there.
She said... She said just a minute ago she knew something was wrong since she entered the one-room schoolhouse she attended. That was, what is it, first grade or whatever?
Well, I remember not standing up in grade school at a very young age to God Save the Queen.
Uh-huh.
And the teacher's freaking out on me, and I'm looking at the teacher going, I don't live in Britain.
Right.
Right. Well, she's our queen. No, she's not. I live in Canada. And it's been a very interesting learning process of what is and what isn't ever since.
Yeah.
So anyways, we're going to win because we're supposed to. And then we will put things back the way they are. I do believe that between America and Canada, we can be the guiding light to the rest of the world, because they have been screwed over large.
Yeah.
And
well, she says you're invited to supper when you get to
Calgary. Once
they
see, once, no, but once people see the strength rising, then it automatically makes the other people stronger.
Yes. Yes, it does.
You know? So we can make this right.
It does.
So.
Helen said you're invited over to supper when you get to Calgary. Or, yeah.
I do want to get to Calgary. I want to see what it looks like now, because when I lived in Calgary, it was a beautiful place.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, like Toronto now, we used to have a lot of fun in Toronto when I was young. And now there's, I don't even know how I talk to anybody. There's 200 and some different languages.
Jeez.
How the hell am I going to talk to anybody? And I know people in Toronto just want the hell out of there, right?
Yeah.
You know, this isn't our town anymore. It's been taken from us. So anyways, you have yourself a wonderful, wonderful day. And I so much appreciate having me on.
You too.
And I got to go make some food for supper.
That's quite fine. You too. Have a good day.
Okay. You take care.
Bye. Okay. Thank you, everyone. I don't have a guest for the second hour, but I'm going to find a documentary that I want to watch and listen to play for the second hour. So I do appreciate everyone that came out and listened to Ron. Always a great time talking to him, whether he's on this show or whether he's on Barry's show. I don't get to interject much when I'm producing Barry, and Barry has him on, but great guy. So I'll be right back in a few minutes, everyone.